All right, let's go to our Bibles, where we waste half the time talking to you about different things. Well, we have to get in touch with each other. Amen? So I can't just be preaching to you all the time and I'm just more than a preacher for you. I'm your pastor. For goodness sake. Hallelujah. All right. We talked about in our beginning of our time there, we talked about spiritual warfare. We started out with 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. Let's go ahead and read that first. Then we go to something else there. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we said there's a warfare going on. There's a war going on. And it's going, and it has to do with strongholds. And a lot of people, when you say strongholds, all of a sudden in their mind, their mind takes explodes into some kind of imagination of some kind of something. I don't know what it is. And so they have this kind of a thought, try to make the scripture say something. If you read the scripture, you'll find out that warfare is happening in your mind. So the devil is after your mind. He'll tell you all kinds of junk. And the only way to find out if the devil is talking to you is read your Bible and figure out if it's your thoughts, the devil's thoughts, or God's thoughts. So you discern that. If it's evil, if it's abusive, if it's bad, negative, it's the devil. You pull it down. Pull it down. And so there's a warfare going on right now, a struggle right now going on in a lot of people's minds. Should I go back to using drugs again? That's a warfare going on in your mind. Affects your physical body, and your body wants to get that again, what it had before. Your body knows what it used to have, so it wants to go back to that. It's called impulses. It's called compulsion. It's called addiction. And so it wants to go back there. And when you put your mind there, your body follows. So there's a warfare going on, and you have to win that battle up here. If you can pull that down, you're going to win the battle. So we talked about that, the devil's tactics. We also talked about symptoms. Last time we talked about the symptoms of spiritual attack. You know, everybody has a physical body, and when your body gets attacked with some kind of germ or virus, you have symptoms in your body that tell you there's something wrong. So when you get spiritually attacked, there's something happens to you in your spirit, in your mind, that tells you there's something wrong. And so we gave you a number of points about how to figure out what kind of attack we have, and we show you that. So we read from Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13, King James Version says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Verse 13, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. The evil day is the day you're attacked, having all done to stand. So you must stand against the devil. If you're afraid to stand against the devil, against attacks, you're not going to make it. You have to obey the word of God and stand against the devil and not be afraid of him. You might feel afraid, but God wants you to be courageous. That means you do it in fear. You do it while your body is trembling. You do these things. So spiritual attacks spiritual attacks are like physical attacks. And so we talked about the symptoms. We need to recognize symptoms. And we talked about in James chapter 1, verse 2, that he says, "Dear brothers and sisters," I'm reading the New Living Translation, James 1, chapter 1, verse 2, "My dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity of great joy." In other words, you might not feel like laughing. It's probably not the right time to laugh. and there's no reason in the natural to laugh, but you're going to put on laugh, and you do it by faith. And you say, ha, 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 Mr. Devil, I got the victory. I want to show you something. If you go over to Colossians chapter, we'll go over here. I have my old time Bible right over here. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, and I want to show you something over here. Colossians chapter 2. You know, because we talked about in Ephesians 6 there that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. And as soon as you say that, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, against powers. And as you read the Bible, read that, you know, if you're in unbelief, and all of a sudden you start to cower because, ooh, we're fighting against, you know, these spirits. No, you're not fighting no spirits. You know, you're upholding what Jesus did. Jesus already defeated those spiritual things. Jesus defeated all the devil. When he left there in Matthew 28, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Matthew 28. All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore. So, if all power is given unto him, and he's telling us to go, then there's no power left on earth that's going to stop you except the devil, and he's got tactics. We'll talk about that in a moment. And so in Colossians chapter 2, Paul prayed for them in Colossians chapter 1, and he talked about them that he prayed in chapter 1, verse 9, that they be prayed with that the knowledge of his will and wisdom, spiritual knowledge would be given unto them, that they walk in the way that God called them to walk. Then over in chapter 2, he says something here very interesting. Let's go ahead and read from verse 8 to verse 15. I want to show you something. Remember, I did said Ephesians 6 over there in verse 13 to 12, that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That's what he's talking to the church, talking to individual people, that you're up against evil spirits. We're talking about spiritual warfare. But I want to tell you something, that these things have no power over you if you walk with God, walk in obedience to God. And I want to show you something. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, and after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of God, the Godhead bodily. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you were circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in the putting off of the body of sins, of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And when you are born again, you are cut off from the evil forces of this world and put into Christ. You're now in Christ. It says in here, verse 12, buried with him in baptism. You know, he's not talking about water baptism. He's talking about the baptism that when the Holy Spirit took your spirit, when you accepted Christ, took your spiritual nature, your demonic, or at least your Adamic nature that was, of the devil. And he put that spirit, when you got born again, he put you into the body of Christ. He baptized you. The word baptized means to be put into, fully immersed into the body, the spiritual body of Christ. If you're a Christian, you're in the body of Christ now. You're in light. And so it says in here that buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through faith. In other words, in the lower regions, like as far as God's mind, you went with Jesus down, and when the Holy Spirit went down there, he quickened Jesus, and you rose from the dead. When he rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. That's wonderful, isn't it? And he says there, risen with him through faith of the operation of God, that's the Spirit of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, in an uncircumcision in your flesh, had he quickened together with him. He made alive Jesus from the dead. Jesus, of course, had to die spiritually with our sins and go down and die physically afterwards, go down. The Bible says that we went down with him. The Bible says that Paul says that in Galatians that our old man died with him. That's our old spirit died with Jesus on the cross. He became sin for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that he became sin for us when you knew sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. That Jesus became sin for us. In other words, he took us by identification or substitution. He took us with him onto the cross. In other words, he took our sins, our nature, and he died on the cross, was hung on the cross, and he went down. And now it says here in verse 13, notice that the circumcision of your flesh had he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. That your sins, your nature was nailed to the cross with Jesus. Verse 15, and having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. The triumph of Jesus raising was raised from the dead. When he triumphed over the devil, you and I triumphed over the devil at the same time. Now, because we triumph over the devil, that we can now withstand the devil, because we've been given right standing with God, we've been given the authority of God to resist temptation, to resist sin, and all that's evil. I want to show you something over here. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12, I believe 12 to 14 here. I want to show you another thing that you need to know. Romans chapter 6 and verse 12. Romans 6. Let's go to 6:6. Romans 6:6. If you got it right there. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Did you get that? Did you really get that? Romans 6:6, knowing that our old man, our old nature, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that our old nature is passed away. All things become new. That's a brand new spirit you have. Now let's read this again for 6:6. Knowing this, and you have to know this, that our old man is crucified with him. In other words, now you have authority to direct your body to say no to sin, that the body of sin might be destroyed, and hence that we should not serve sin. That you don't have to sin, you don't have to give in to fornication, you don't have to give in to alcohol and drugs. Now, people who say, I can't help it, it's because they don't know, they're ignorant, and that their body is king. They let their body rule over them. And their spirit is weak at the moment. But once their spirit gets weak, they can walk away. And when scripture is given to them and they start obeying, they can walk away. I was telling my wife, in Mark chapter 5, there's a man that had 2,000 demons controlling his life, his mind and physical body was completely demonically controlled. That one man was able to say yes to God, exercise his will, and walk free from that. So no matter what's there, holding you back, you can walk away free. Verse 12, I'll jump over to verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign. You see, the word reign means rule or dominate or have kingship over you. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, your physical body. You're born again, but your physical body is not born again. Your physical body wants to do the same things it used to do when it wasn't saved. And your mind will think different things, evil things. If you let your mind go, your mind will think evil things that you wouldn't want any other person to know that you thought that way. And if you allow your body to do what it wants to do like it used to before you got born again, it'll go back to using drugs. It'll go back to sleeping around. It'll go back to smoking tobacco and shooting up drugs and getting into fisticuffs and getting to violence. stealing, robbing, whatever it is. Your body, you can use your body for every evil you can imagine. But the Bible says you are in control now that you're born again, that you can say no to your body. Now, let's go and read this again. I want to show you something. Because the body, the Bible, the devil wants to appeal to your flesh. Again, read this scripture, Ephesians 6, 12 and 13. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Well, how do you wrestle with them? Well, you wrestle with them in your thought life. You don't just go around and roll around in the grass or roll around in your living room fighting with the devil. You roll around in your hair. You wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are the spirits that are trying to dominate the world, you and the rest of the world around you. And it says there, wherefore, okay, because you wrestle there, wherefore take up to you the whole armor of God. In other words, start using the weapons that God gave you. The whole armor of God, not just half of them, everything. You have to know what all the armor is. And all the armor represents, you know, the word of God in some fashion about your life. That you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having all done to stand. So if you're not standing, who's going to stand for you? Your mama's not going to stand for you. She can't stand for you. She can pray for you, stand and pray for you, sustain you until you come to a place where you have your own decision. Thank God I can pray for you. I can pray for anybody and get them loose in a moment of time. 5 seconds later, if they go back to the same thinking, they'll be back right into the same old mess. So prayer doesn't change much if you don't get the Word of God in you. A lot of people think that prayer is a magical thing. You just pray one prayer, it's going to be all said. No, you have to fight the battle and stand with the Word of God. Stand. A lot of people don't want to stand. They want someone else to do it for them. They want freedom. Like you just snap your finger, just go to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream cone. Even that's too slow now. So thank God. I want to show you some things over here. I want to show you some things that'll help you. I want to show you. Now we're going to start our lesson. We got 20 minutes to finish this lesson, they tell me, or they're going to shut me down here. Last time people were complaining that I was too long. Well, big baby, you can get off and go and do whatever you want to do. Go rollerblading. But I'm going to continue to preach the gospel. Amen. So you can just look at this. Here's Satan's strategy to defeat you. This is how he's going to beat you if you don't make those changes. Now listen. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, the King James Version. Luke chapter 22, verse 31, King James. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. I want to read this from the Message Bible. The Message Bible. Luke 22, 31 and 32. We'll read both of these. Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate you all from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I prayed for you in particular that you're not given in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn your companions and give them a fresh start. That's like saying, you know, hey, when I'm gone through this, I promise God I'm going to help other people have the same problem. I told the Lord, I promised the Lord some things when this situation's here that I've gone through my personal life. I'm going to tell everybody about it, that the devil couldn't do it. That God has given me the victory. I'm telling everybody, like I said, as Psalm 118, verse 17, I believe it is. It says, I will not die, but I'll live, and I'll declare the works of the Lord. See, that man says, when I come through this, and God saved me from dying, and when I get out of this, I'm going to tell everybody about it. In Jesus' name. It's funny how our experience benefits other people, helps other people. The Amplified Bible of this verse of Scripture, Luke 22:31 says, Simon, Simon, Peter, listen. Satan has asked excessively that all of you be given up to him out of the power and keeping of God, that he might sift you all like grain. You know, I guess in the old days, I'm not sure how to do it, but how to separate the wheat, the chaff from the wheat. They put it in some kind of basket, and they, do this or something, or shake it up, and the wind comes by and blows the chaff away, and the wheat stays in the barn because it's heavier. So you shake it up, and the wind comes by, and the air just flies away, and then it stays there. So it gives you that kind of idea that the devil wants to shake you to a place where he can separate you from God, separate you from the will of God. You know, I don't know if you've been shaken up from different things. There's times that I've been felt a shaking from the enemy. He's trying to come shake me with symptoms and different circumstances in my life. Circumstances mean that you're encircled with the enemy. That's he's all around you trying to hurt you. Now, we're talking about spiritual battles. We're talking about struggles. We're talking about spiritual warfare that's happening to people. And so if we learn, our point is here, if you learn to quickly obey God, go to his word, stay in his word, we can avoid the devil's trap. Now, Satan's desire was to destroy Peter's faith, like he's trying to destroy your faith. You know that Satan has a plan to kill, steal, and destroy, Jesus said in John 10:10. Satan's desire was to sift Peter like wheat, to separate him from his faith, from his belief system, where he would be of no value to himself or anybody else. Jesus said he prayed for Peter. You know, the Bible says that Jesus right now is sitting right at the right hand of the Father in Romans chapter 8, that he's ever living to intercede for you. In other words, Jesus is praying for you that your faith will not fail. You have to stand with Jesus. Stand with his word. And so if he prayed for those disciples, prayed for Peter, you think Jesus is praying for you too? You bet he is. Romans says that Romans chapter 8, he says Jesus is ever living to intercede for you, over in Hebrews as well, saying that Jesus is ever living to intercede for you. He's praying for you right now. You know, you don't have to be a minister, call of God and full-time ministry to be attacked to the devil in different ways. The devil will attack anybody. I know when I first started out in ministry, the devil did his best to try and attack me, and I was attacked in my mind and my body and different things, but I was able to stand strong. God helped me. God helped you as well. So, you know, there's a song called Walk This Way. Walk this way. Talk this way. This is the way we got to do with Jesus. We got to walk this way. Talk this way. Where's the guitar? Give me the guitar here. You know, so we have to walk this way. We have to talk this way. Like Jesus talked. Walk like Jesus walked. So we have to walk in submission to the Word of God. You know, submission has a negative connotation in this life, especially in some circles, because they think that submission is a negative thing, that it means that someone's going to dominate you, but that's not the case according to the Word of God. It can happen, but it doesn't have to happen, and you know the difference. So, submission is actually a protective thing that God has given His church and His people. When we walk in submission, we're walking humbly before God and His people. You say, well, I'm humble. Well, let's see how you act with people. You know, you have to. When you're humble, you're submitting to people. God has His people around, like the devil has his people. You got your people, I got my people, He says. Well, the devil has his people, and they'll dominate you. But God has his people, they'll dominate you too. No, they won't dominate you. If they're real people of God, they will take their place and speak life into you. And so, when we're walking in submission, we're walking humbly before God. The Bible says that Moses was the most humblest man in the world. Over in Numbers 12 and verse 3, when he says in here, Moses, now the man Moses was very meek, gentle, kind, and humble above all the men of the face of the earth. So we need to be gentle, kind, and humble in our lives. We need to be that. If we're going to walk with God, this is how God wants us to walk. You have to walk this way. And so he was called a friend of God. Humbling ourselves before God. God can lead you if you're humble. Lead you by his word and his spirit. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, the Amplified Classical Version says, obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them, continually recognizing their authority over you. For they are constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare, as men who will have to render an account of their trust. In other words, as a man of God, I will have to render account to God about what I did with the people that God gave me. He says, do your part. Let them do it with gladness and not with sighing or groaning, for that wouldn't be profitable to you either. Man, I wouldn't want to tell God I lost this person. I was part of his life and he's gone to hell. I mean, I got to give account to God. I don't want to tell God that you left here and, I didn't preach to you the message. I didn't give you the word. I didn't give you something to do here at the church. I didn't believe for what God told me to believe here. I didn't build this church. And then you walk away. If you walk away, that's up to you. I don't have to give account for if you walk away. Now, you'll find rest and peace under God's care. And Psalm 23:1 says, the Lord is my shepherd, the Amplified Classical says. The Lord is my shepherd. Number one, to feed. Number two, to guide. Number three, to shield you or protect you. He said, I shall not lack. If Jesus is your shepherd, you're going to be having the right feed, spiritually and physically. You're going to be guided, spiritually and physically. And you're going to be shielded. You won't have things happen in your life the way some people, if they're not shielded, they're going to get into a lot of trouble. I like what Psalm 23, the Message Bible says, God is my shepherd, I don't need a thing. I like that scripture. So, you know, when we obey God, we're going to come under the teaching of God. This is how we're going to be protected, if you want to be protected. It says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11:29, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, you take my yoke. You take it. You take my teaching. You take my word. You take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly. See, Jesus, that's how he is. He's meek and lowly in heart, or humble. We need to be like Jesus. We have to be gentle and kind to the people that God sent to us, that are put over us. And lowly in heart, we're humble to people. If you just have a bad attitude, the people God put in your life, that's not good. And you shall find rest unto your souls. See, there's people that want rest for the soul, but they're not doing the meekness, the kindness. But they want rest. There's a price to pay for rest and peace from spiritual attacks. So Jesus is talking about this yoke. What is this yoke? Well, a yoke represents being under the training and teaching of an elder or a spiritual guide or advisor. In Jesus' day, and as in the custom of the Jews, they knew what Jesus was referring to. And so we have to understand the customs and the culture of his day when we're reading the scripture. That's why it's good to study. In which the day in which Jesus lived, when When he said, take my yoke upon you, they knew what he meant. That means you take the training, take the word, and sit under and be humble and learn from somebody older that's been around for some time. They know what they're talking about. Like, you know, I talk to people all the time. You know, I've been without drugs, alcohol for many, many years. And people, I tell them things. They don't listen. But they're out there drinking. They're out there trying to stay sober every day. I'm not struggling every day. I don't struggle every day to go out and use. And I've gone through it. I know what it's like to go through it. I've got years to tell people stuff. I mean, I can help anybody. But if they don't listen, if they don't obey, if they're not humble, they're not going to get nothing. But somebody like me can be very useful to some young person that can help them out. I know what it's like to live on the street. I know what it's like to live on Salvation Army. I know what it's like going in out of emergency. I know what it's like to get beaten up on the street. I know what it's like to go back and forth in jail. I know what it's like sitting in a jail cell. I know what it's like thinking about, oh, not again. I know what it's like to have PTSD, sweating at night, being fearful, having panic attack, thinking I'm going to die. I know what it's like year after year having that. I know what it's like. I know how to help people out of anxiety problems. I know what it's like to have your mind going 100 miles an hour, you can't stop it. I know what it's like. I've been there. I've had it for year after year. Even after I was sober, I struggled with my mind. I struggled with my emotions. I know how to help people. If somebody would just listen, they're going to get help. But they think, you know, here's this old guy. He's, you know, he don't know anything. I know a lot of things. I can help you in a moment of time. So, you know, I have relatives and all kinds of people. They won't listen. Fine, go ahead. Let's see how that takes care of you. So people want rest. They want peace. They're getting spiritual attacks. This rest he's talking about is not talking about a physical, not only a physical rest, but a mental and a spiritual rest. You know, where do they need rest? They need rest in their soul. Jesus is talking about their soul. You'll have find rest for your soul. The word soul, S-O-U-L, is where we get the word psyche. Psyche in the Greek. If you look that up, you'll find the word soul. You'll see the word psyche. It means the mind. You know, psychologists they study the mind, how the mind thinks. Jesus said you'll find rest for your psyche, or you'll find rest for your mind. Everybody wants rest in their mind. The soul is the part that thinks and decides and reasons. That's what your soul does. It reasons. And sometimes your reasoning is all wired wrongly, and you got to get the reasoning back into the Word of God. And the part that thinks, if it thinks wrong, it's going to do wrong things and make the body do different things and so on. And so you have to commit your mind, and you have to take your mind and give it to God and submit to God your thinking. You know, when I stopped using and stopped living the way I used to do, think the way I used to do, I had to take my mind and exercise it and say, you know what, I'm not thinking the way I'm thinking anymore. I have to give my mind over to what they're telling me. They told me this in Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, Alcoholics Anonymous is God working in man, helping man to get sober, to think straight, to the place where they could come to Jesus. I believe 100% that God has given every kind of available help to people, because some people don't want to go to church, they don't want to go to religion. So God puts something out there to help people get sober. That's how I got sober. That's how I got saved. I don't, you know, I'll tell people, I'll send them to AA. If you can't go to other treatment centers, go to AA. You don't have to go to treatment center. You can go to this program. There's a lot of people sober up without a program. Lots of people sober up without a program. If you just follow the spiritual steps they tell you, you'll straighten out. But you have to be humble. You know, I thank God for treatment centers and all that. But you can't live in a treatment center for years, forever. You got to come out sometimes. Thank God that you're there for some time, for a while. Some of you. I was in the treatment center. I went there a couple of times. I went there one time for a long time. I came out and I started drinking again. But I tried to go back in. They said, Roma, you don't need no treatment center. You just have to, you have the tools. You know what to do. Just go ahead and do it. And I got well. The result will be, if you come to God, Matthew 10:30, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Well, we want easy and we want light. You want an easy life? Well, follow Jesus. It's easier putting up with all the junk we put up with. We don't want heavy, we want light. Hallelujah. So get under the yoke. You know this yoke, you talk about yoke, there's a yoke, if you look at it this way, there, you know the yoke that goes around a bull or a cow when it's tilling the ground? And this yoke, if you have a yoke, it distributes, you know, power evenly between two people or six or 12 or whatever it is. That yoke will be evenly distributed to all the animals. And one guy is not pulling alone. It's everybody pulling together. Makes it a whole lot easier. And Jesus said, hey, if you come with me, listen, I'll pull the load with you. Now, there's something you have to do, but there's something I'm going to do. I'm going to pull the load, but you don't have to pull this together by yourself. So God will help you. So like this animal pulling this pull or whatever, he's using his strength so everybody gets to help. So we have trouble in this world, and we need to learn how to fight this battle with God, the way God. Now, there's two ways Satan can take advantage of you. Two ways he'll get advantage of you. 2 Corinthians 2:11 says, number one is ignorance. Satan will take advantage of you in spiritual things. In this army, he'll take, or this warfare, he'll take advantage of you because you're ignorant. Firstly, he'll take advantage of a believer through ignorance. Paul said, the believer, to the believers at Corinth, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. So ignorance is a problem for people. They don't know how Satan operates on them. If you don't understand your enemy, if you're going to go, say you're going to wrestle or you're going to go fighting, you're in a ring, if you don't understand how this guy fights and you know how you fight, then you don't have a game plan. You got to have a game plan to fight the enemy. If he can get you to walk in darkness, in ignorance of the Word of God, he'll get you. The prophet Isaiah said, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. So God's people, his very own people that are Christians, that are believers in salvation, they're getting decimated because they don't understand how to defend themselves against the enemy. They pray wrong. They believe wrong. That's what I understood from studying the scriptures all these years. That some Christians, they think wrong. And they pray wrong. They think prayer is the antidote for everything. It's not. If you pray wrong according to scripture, you're not going to get your answer. You got to see how prayer works according to scripture. It's believing prayer that works, not just prayer. Now, young people who are young in the Lord, that the Satan can take advantage of them. 1 Timothy 3:6, the King James says, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall to the condemnation or the judgment of the devil. See, a young person, the devil will put things in someone, get him mad, and he gets into pride. I can do this on my own, and I don't need you, and I don't need this world. And no, you need people. So the devil wants to get you alone and isolate you, then he can destroy you. And I talked to people yesterday. There's a man that called me, and he had a terrible time. His daughter had an overdose in Winnipeg. That was yesterday. I was talking to him yesterday. His daughter had a problem. And he had problems himself over the years, and he ended up in a hospital and took a breakdown, a nervous breakdown, and he got sick. And, because he didn't know how to help himself. We know how to help ourselves because we're not ignorant of the devil. We need to walk in faith. If your kids are attacked, there's no time for you to have a breakdown, or your friend is having have an overdose. It's time for you to pray and believe God. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 22:15, the Message Bible says, young people are prone to foolishness and fads. The cure comes through tough-minded discipline. We need to think tough. Think strength in the Lord. Think about the power of God. The second way the devil defeats you is through disobedience. Hosea 4:6 talks about that. Now, it was over here, it says in here, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they have rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten my law, the law of God. I will also forget thy children. Man, oh man, you know, I want to be a parent that's walking with God so that God doesn't forget my kids. I want to plead for all my children. When they mess up, I want to be there for them. You know, kids mess up, no matter who you are. And you got to stand with your kids. Some kids, they're messing up when they're 30s. Some people are good all the way through until they get off on their own and they're messing up. But we stand strong with them. So while it's still yet today, over here, let's go over here to Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 to 19. I'm reading the Amplified Bible. We're still talking about disobedience. Another way. First one is lack of knowledge. Second one is disobedience. Verse 15, Hebrews chapter 3. So, while it is still called today, if you would hear his voice, and when you hear it, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion in the desert, when the people provoked and irritated and embittered God against them. The Bible says that you can have a hard heart towards God's word or his word, or the people of God giving you the word. If you harden your heart, stiff heart. For those who heard and yet were rebellious and provoked him. He's asking a question. Who were they? Was it not all those who came out of Egypt by Moses? All these people, Israel, they all had the word. God gave them all the word, but half of them died, or most of them died. I think it was 40 and 20 and above. I think they all died in the wilderness later. They all perished. Because they were rebellious. They disobeyed God. They all had the word. And I believe it's Hebrews 4:6 that they couldn't enter because of unbelief. Unbelief. I'll tell you something in a moment. Now listen to this. Verse 17. And with whom was he irritated and provoked and grieved for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose dismembered bodies were strewn and left in the desert? And to whom did he swear that they should not enter his rest? But those who disobeyed, who had not listened to his word, and who refused to be compliant or to be persuaded. You know, we need to learn to be persuaded by the word of God and comply with God's word and listen and obey God and obey God's word. Somebody is over you in the Lord. Somebody is teaching you the things of God. Listen to them. Listen to your elders. Listen to the people God sent you to help you. Verse 19, so we see that they were not able to enter into his rest. That's what people want. They want rest for the soul or rest, you know, because of their unwillingness or to adhere to and trust in and rely on. Unbelief had shut them out. He said they couldn't enter because of unbelief. The Greek says they were unpersuaded. Unpersuadableness. Unbelief talks about rebelling, not obeying God. So when God gives you his word, like you don't have to have a voice coming out of the sky or a shaking in your body or an angel appear to you. That could happen, but that doesn't happen very rarely unless you have a prophetic anointing and God sends you out and shows you different things. Even then, you have to still be in faith. So God gives you his word to obey. So two things. It's ignorance. That's how Satan will attack you and get to you, is ignorance. That means you have to study the Word of God. And secondly, is disobedience. That we need to start obeying God, and disobedience will leave. The three things devil will use, and we'll close with this. Three things devil will use. So the devil will use three things to get you into a trap. And number one is delay. And God, you know, wants to give you something. He wants you to obey His word. Delay. It means putting off something to a later time. You postpone things that cause you felt you were not ready, like procrastination, an urge to pray or to have a prayer time, or to procrastination to put off the work of God, or to serve, or to do whatever God told you to do, or to give money, or whatever it is God said to do. When God is leading you to do something, we should immediately obey Him. That's why trouble comes, and God wants to get you out of something. God always gets you to do something in order for you to get out of something. God always gets you to do something in order for you to get out of something. So the devil uses delay. Now, Psalm 119, verse 58 and 60, the New American Standard Bible says, I sought your favor with my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Verse 59. I considered my ways, and I turned my feet to your testimonies, or his ways, his word. Verse 60, I hastened, or I acted quickly, and did not delay. I did not delay, or postpone, or to put off, to keep your commandments. See, this is the way the devil does. He'll get you to delay so that you will not get out of your trouble. So when God speaks to you, I learned this from Brother Heck, and he says the first thing, how to follow the Spirit, is to quickly obey God. Don't even ask yourself questions. Don't even ask yourself. If you know it's the Word, quickly obey it. And that's how you get out of it. So delaying and procrastination of God's ways is lost opportunity. It's your loss. You know, the devil wants you to get away. So the other thing the devil uses at times is what we call diversion. Or let's see here. Diversion. That means he breaks your focus on God's plan for your life. The devil will try to divert you to another thing from what God originally gave you. Joshua chapter 1, verse 7 and 8, it says, Only thou be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left hand, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe according to all that is written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt make thy way successful. Delaying is creating diversion in God's plan. When you delay, you cause diversion. You cause yourself to go to another route. When you delay what God says, then you take another route. Some people take a route that takes them 20 years until they come back to where they're supposed to be. I know people in this church did the same thing for 20 years. They're gone for 20 years, and they come back, they start off where they were, where God wanted them. Why would you want to take a 20-year journey and get all upset and all kinds of problems? So the Israelites delayed when they saw the giants, and later they were diverted to do their own into their own mindsets, and eventually failed, and they didn't make it to the promised land, some of them. So Psalm 78, 42, let's read verse 40 to 42. How oft did they provoke him? This is talking about the Israelites. In the wilderness, and grieve him in the desert. Yea, they turned their back on and tempted God, and limited the Holy One of Israel. You know, you limit God When you step back, you limit God from helping you. Verse 42, they remember not his hand, nor the day when they delivered them from the enemy. Some people go right back in the same problems they used to, because they don't remember, they don't rehearse what God did for them. They know if they do these certain things, they're going to head back into the same trouble again. Don't limit God working in your life. So these guys wanted for 40 years, which would have taken only 40 days to accomplish. How silly is that? You spent 40 years. I know people, I talk to relatives for 30, 40 years to stop drinking. They're still drinking. They're doing the same thing I told them 20 years ago. And they haven't stopped. And they're still trying to get to treatment. They could have had a good life for the last 20 years. My goodness. Numbers 13, verse 30 says, and Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Say that to yourself. I am well able. I am well able. I am well able. I am well able. You have to say that, not because you're so good, but because God did it for you. You're able to do what God said to do. He said to stand, so you stand. Joshua and Caleb still believed, no matter what other people said, when they delayed. You know, Joshua and Caleb would have got there quicker. And, you know, your life can be delayed because of somebody else. But eventually you'll be blessed if you stick with God. You know, it's amazing. Brother Hagin said, I heard the story from myself, from Doug Jones, you know, in Bible school, our president of our school, Dr. Kenneth Hagin, he was talking to us. And Doug Jones was one of the, he's been there for like 40 years, 50 years working for Brother Hagin, working for Rhema. And he left. He went on his own. He said, oh, now I'm working. You know, I worked here for many years. I'm going on my own. Brother Hagin didn't want him to go. And Brother Hagin said, I couldn't stop him. I didn't want to stop him. If he wanted to go, he had to go. And he can do whatever he wants. It's a free country. We don't own anybody. But we're sad when people leave us. I know people right now that started me right in the ministry. They're out there. They're not doing well. But I'm doing well. And so, I didn't miss God. I'm still working for God. And so, you know, this guy, Doug Jones, he left Brother Hagin at Rhema. Well, he went on his own, and he fell flat on his face. And later came back. He tried his best to start off his own ministry, but, I mean, he's doing okay, but he knew he missed God, and he was having a hard time. He fell on his face. He came back and told Brother Hagin, after so many years. And Brother Hagin says, you know, I couldn't do certain things because you weren't here. You know, you can delay a pastor's calling or a ministry because you're not here. And I know what I could do in this city and in this place here if people would just follow what I tell them to do according to the Word of God. We could have so much doing here. We could have a brand new Bible school out there and ready. We could have the Women's Treatment Center out there already. We could have all the workers in there and ready. We could have all the place built up. But the people just turned away. They wouldn't listen to God. They disobeyed God. I know people, families even, who left and never came back. They're not doing good like they should have been. Individuals. You know, we're all going to give up to God. They're going to have to tell God one day. So, another thing that happens is discord. Discord creates a lack of harmony between believers and God. Harmony creates pleasing arrangements between God and the believer. Delay, diversion leads to discord. So delay, and you get diverted. This number one is delay, second one is diversion, the third one is discord. Creating a confusion in the mind. This discord creates confusion in the mind about God and His will. Will God do this? Will He do that? Whenever doubt is present in the believer, you'll find confusion and discord. James 3:16 says, wherever there is jealousy, envy, and contention, rivalry, and selfish ambition, there will also be confusion, unrest, disharmony, rebellion, and all sorts of evil, vile practices. James 3:16. You may be doing a lot of things right now, but you can still make it a whole lot better. You can improve. Colossians 3:13, the Amplified says, be gentle and forbearing with one another. If one has a difference, a grievance, a complaint against another, readily pardoning each other, even as the Lord freely forgiven you, you must also forgive everyone else. That's how you deal with grievances. That's how you deal with discord. Another scripture, Philippians 2:3, it says, do nothing from factual motives. Factual motives. Through contentiousness and strife, selfishness, for unworthy ends. Prompted by conceit or empty arrogance. Instead, in the true spirit of humility, lowliness of mind, let each regard the others as being better than and as superior to himself, thinking more highly of the one rather than doing it than you do yourself. Matthew 5:9, Amplified says, blessing, enjoying enviable happiness, spiritually prosperous with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of your outward conditions, are makers and maintainers of peace. For they shall be called sons of God. In other words, peacemakers, you know, rather than being in discord all the time, you know, sometimes people send me messages like telling me what we're not doing in the church, and, you know, they're mad that we're not opening the doors. And you know, these people never help the church, but they want to complain. They want me to open the door right now come against, you know, what the city wants or what the province, or we have to obey the government. And we will open the doors maybe next week. And so thank God, but we're not going to rush. Never be in a rush. So thank God. Matthew 5:9 says, you are blessed when you show people how to cooperate instead of compete or fight. That's when you discover you are who you really are and your place in God's family. Thank God for people who show unity. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2 says, I urge Euodia and Syntyche. Man, these guys were hard people. With a name like Euodia and Syntyche, that's pretty tough people. You think about it. Iron out their differences. Praise God, you got a lot of wrinkles. And make up, you know, there's time to make up. God doesn't want his children holding grudges. Now, as I close here, hallelujah, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. In summary, you can't allow Satan to sidetrack you in the spiritual battles, causing all these troubles with all his tactics. We can't be ignorant. We must learn the things of God. We can't be disobedient. We can't delay. We can't run off on our own and get sidetracked and delay what God wants us. So when you delay, you can get into a lot of trouble. You're in big, big trouble when you delay. And you get diverted to do something different. And then you get into some kind of problems. You create discord among each other. So thank God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every single person watching online right now in the name of Jesus. I give you praise that they will not go in opposite direction of what God called them to do. I give you praise in the name of Jesus that we prayed a prayer of submission, dedication, and consecration to God, just like Jesus said, Thy will be done. We pray, Thy will be done. Father, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. Jesus, may Your will be done in my life, in the life of all the people that is listening, that is watching. I pray for the will of God as we submit our lives. Father, we submit our whole spirit, our soul and body to you. We give you our mind. Think through my mind. Help me believe through my heart. I yield my heart to you. I yield my body to you. To use as an instrument to bring peace, to bring your love, to bring your healing and forgiveness. We give you praise, Father, as we are giving you, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the healing power of Jesus flowing out into the people right now. The healing power of Jesus flowing out. In the name of Jesus, command that spirit to leave your body. I command the spirit that has a hold of your mind to leave in the name of Jesus, causing disruption, causing confusion. Confusion in Jesus' name, in the mind, go in the name of Jesus. Confusion in the family, go in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. You're free to walk, free to talk. Free to say, I'm free in the name of Jesus. If you've not been born again, you ask God in your heart. I know most of you are born again that are watching here. We're going to have to get on YouTube and let everybody watch what's going on here. So we're changing what we're doing here. We need people to hear what we're preaching here. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for our brand new TriCaster. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus for a brand new TriCaster and all the equipment we need to do what we're supposed to do. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise for new cameras that we need. I give you praise for the lighting that we need so we can get that out. New equipment. I pray for all the people we need. We pray for all the people. We're calling the people, all this city and all this region that who can come to church here at Faith City. I'm calling you in right now by faith. I'm calling in all the people with the skills that we need to come to this church, to come to this ministry, to help us get out the ministry, the television, the training, the things that we need. We're calling the finances to come in. In the name of Jesus, I call in all the workers, all the experts, all the people that need to come in, all the professionals, all the construction people, all the people that we need to build on this land what we need. In the name of Jesus. Worldwide, international ministry going out, flying in, flying out. In the mighty name of Jesus, we give you praise, Father, for worldwide ministry. When you said this to me years ago, in the early 90s, in the name of Jesus, I believe your word. I believe your spirit. We give you praise, Lord. They're coming in. God's coming in for you. Just call out to the name of the Lord. If you're not born again, just say, Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. Call out to him. You'll be saved. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. Help me. Forgive me. I'm a sinner. Come in my life. Forgive my sins. I'll follow you. If you just said that prayer, you're born again right now. I believe in my heart. I confess with my mouth. Jesus is Lord. If you've been away from God, if you're a Christian and you're doing your own thing, say, God, I ask you in Jesus' name, forgive me. I'm coming in line with your word, following you. There's going to be a day when you need to be in line. You cannot be out of the will of God, driving somewhere, doing your thing, when you should be working for God. All of a sudden, then your kids are out of whack, then this is out of whack, then this guy is sick. And now you're trying to get to God. And sometimes it doesn't take that much. It takes people time. In God, it's like this, but sometimes it takes you a long time to get back to God. Now you got to get back to God right now. So you don't take 2-3 days just to try to get your heart right and get your faith right in line. No, you're in line right now. Say, I'm in line right now in the name of Jesus. Listen, we love you. I want you to write me a line. I want to pray for you. Tell me. Come to my Facebook and pray. My wife's online right now. We're praying. She's praying in the Holy Ghost. I could hear her praying. I could hear these people praying in the name of Jesus. Pastor Ken is right there. He's praying for you. We're praying. We're believing God. And I don't know where you are. People, we're getting calls from everywhere right now. People are calling in the name of Jesus. We pray for the healing power of God. I pray for everyone that's sick right now. I call you blessed. I call you healing, the healing in your body right now. In the name of Jesus, your liver is healed. Your body is healed. Your lungs are healed. Your breathing is a whole lot better. Your heart that's pumping perfectly normal. Your blood pressure is 120 over 80 in the name of Jesus. Your blood is red, not yellow or pink. Not orange, it's red in Jesus' name. Your blood corpuscles, whatever you call them, they're coagulating properly. They're moving about the way it should be. Your shoulders and ankles are strong in the name of Jesus. I thank you. I rebuke cancer. I rebuke diabetes. I rebuke mental illnesses in the name of Jesus. I'm praying by the power of God and the healing power of God to flow through you, to you, in the name of Jesus, wherever you are. I give you praise, Father, for boldness to believe the healing power of God is real today. It's real in Jesus' name. God bless you.